Okay, we're up to Yeshaya, Perek Zayin, the ninth tape in Yeshaya. We learned in the previous Perek, in Perek Vav, Yeshaya was shown his revelation when he accepted the mission to go to the Jewish people. And that happened Bishnas Mos HaMelech Uziyahu, when the king Uziyahu got leprosy. He decided he was going to bring the Ketores. And that's something that's reserved for the Kohanim. And what's done in the Beis HaMikdash can't be done elsewhere. And the people were bringing sacrifices on the Bamos, we had mentioned. And that was a Nevuah, the Da'as Sofer mentions, to show the importance of the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. Now we're going to have a Nevuah that happened years later. This is, again, after Uziyahu, and Uziyahu's son Yosam was the king for 16 years. We're now going to learn about something that happened in the days of Ochaz, the son of Yosam, the son of Uziyahu. And this Nevuah, this prophecy, could be as mentioned here, because now we're going to see the importance of Malchus Beis David, the kingdom, the monarchy of the house of David HaMelech. Vahibi mei Ochaz ben Yosam ben Uziyahu. It was in the days of Ochaz, the son of Yosam, the son of Uziyahu, Melech Yehuda, who was the king of Yehuda. Ola Ritzin Melech Aram, Ritzin the king of Aram, Ufekach ben Rumal Yohu Melech Yisrael, and Pekach ben Rumal Yohu was the king of Yisrael. At this point there were two kingdoms. There was the southern kingdom of Yehuda, and there was the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes that had broken off under the leadership of Ephraim. And now the king was Pekach ben Rumal Yohu. And there was an alliance between Pekach ben Rumal Yohu, who was the king of Yisrael, and the king from Aram, the Aramean king, Ritzin. And the two of them made an alliance to attack Yerushalayim. La milchama aleha, to go to war against Yerushalayim. V'lo yochol lehilochim aleha. But they weren't able to do battle. And it doesn't say right now exactly what happened, but not that they weren't even able to win the war, but they couldn't even do battle. Hashem prevented this, their plan, from coming to fruition. In Divrei Hayomim Beis, in Perek Chof Ches, over there, it tells us some of the historical background about what happened at this point. Ochaz the king, as we mentioned, was a terrible Rasha. In fact, Chazal say that Ochaz's plan, he had a great father. He had a father who was one of the greatest tzaddikim, Yosam. He had a grandfather, Uziyahu, that we said was also a tremendous tzaddik. Just he made this mistake in a moment of inspiration, and he was going to bring the Ketores, and he suffered, and therefore he was struck with leprosy. But Uziyahu was also a tzaddik. And now Ochaz was the king, and Ochaz, for whatever reason, felt this was not for him. And he went, and he, bedafka, wanted to do everything he could to go against Hashem. In fact, Chazal bring down that he said, if there are no young goats, if there's no Gideon, if there's no young goats, you won't have the older goats, the Tioshin. And if you don't have the older goats, you won't be able to produce further generations. There won't be any sheep. And if there's no sheep, there won't be any roer, there won't be any shepherd, there won't be anyone taking care of them. And then the world will end the way we know it. It'll all be destroyed. Meaning, if there's no Gideon, if you don't have the little children learning Chumash, learning their Mikra, you won't have the older ones who are learning Mishnah. And if you don't have those, you won't have people learning Gemara, and you won't have Torah. And if we don't have Torah, so then Hashem won't rest his Shechinah in Klal Yisrael. Hashem will leave. There won't be a shepherd. Hashem will leave. So Ochaz wanted, it's hard to understand the wickedness, but it wasn't a person who didn't know better. He grew up in a household of the greatest tzaddikim, but now he was out to destroy Torah. And it says he went and he locked the doors to the shuls and to the Bate Medrash, that it was Torah was outlawed. You weren't allowed to learn. You weren't allowed to go to the Beis HaKnesses. This happened in the times of, this is what Ochaz did. In Divrei HaYomim, as in Tanakh, it stresses the fact that he made the Avodah Zarah and he spread it through the land. And then the Pasuk says, in Divrei HaYomim Beis, Perek Chof Ches, Pasuk He, it says, Vayitneu Hashem Elokov Biad Melech Aram. Hashem gave him over in the hands of the king of Aram. Vayakubo, and he struck Ochaz. Vayishbu Mimenu Shivya Gedola. And they took a tremendous amount of captives. Vayaviyu Darmosek, and they were brought back to Damascus. Aram was the king of Damascus. And it was brought back over there. Vagam Biyad Melech Yisrael Nitan. And Ochaz was given over into the control of the Melech Yisrael. Vayachbo Makarabah, who delivered a great blow to Ochaz. And it says, Pekach ben Ramalyahu, the king of Yisrael, killed 120,000 men from Ochaz in one day. And then it says afterwards, in Pasuk Ches, the Bnei Yisrael captured 200,000 women and children, Bonim Uvanos, and a Shalol Rav, Bozazulahem. They took a lot of spoils. Ochaz had suffered terrible blows, a terrible punishment, both through Aram, and then separately through Pekach ben Ramalyahu, through the king, through Yisrael, through the kingdom of Yisrael, the 10 tribes. Now what happened was they joined together. It was in the days of Ochaz ben Yosem ben Uziyahu, all of Ritzin Melech Aram, Ritzin the king of Aram, Ufekach ben Ramalyahu, and Pekach ben Ramalyahu was the king of Yisrael, together they now came to Yerushalayim. La milchama aleha, to go to war against Yerushalayim, v'lo yochol hilachem aleha. But they weren't able to be victorious, and some unfortunately they couldn't even fight. We'll see what happened. The fight never got off the ground. Rashi brings down, over here the Navi makes a point of telling us his whole yichus, not only his father, even his grandfather. The Malachi Ashores, Rashi brings down, the Malachim said before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vai, whoa, who's this person Ochaz? Mi hu zeh, Shemalach Rosha. Shemalach zeh, Rosha zeh. Who's this person, this Rosha, that's able to rule? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered, he's the son of Yosam. He's the grandson of Uziyo. His ancestors were tzaddikim. And therefore, we're not going to allow Pekach and Ritzin to win the war and to capture Yerushalayim. V'lo yochol hilochem aleha. The fact that he was the son and the grandson of such people, that Zechus protected him. Alone, Ritzin, when he came alone, was able to win against Ochaz. And Pekach ben Ramalyahu alone was able to win, as we saw in Divrei HaYomim. But here together, it could be that the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want, was upset that here you have a Jewish nation making an alliance with the Goyim against their brethren, against other Jews. Pekach ben Ramayoh, the king of Yisrael, makes an alliance with Aram, the Jews with the Goyim together to attack Yerushalayim. So when they did it themselves separately, Ochaz was a Rasha and he was defeated. But such an alliance, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't allow it to succeed. And also there's a stress that it was against Yerushalayim. They went La Milchama Aleha, to war against it. V'lo yochol hilachem aleha. Again, that word aleha, they weren't able to battle against Yerushalayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't allow Yerushalayim to be captured and destroyed at this time. Vayugad leveis David leimor. It was told to the household of David, saying, Nocha Aram al Ephraim. Aram has joined together with Ephraim. Together they've decided to attack. Vayon alavovo. So when Ochaz heard this, his heart shuddered. Ulevav amo, in all the nation, everyone was trembling. Kenoa atseyar mipnei aruach, like the trees of the forest shudder and they shake back and forth because of the wind. Everyone was terrified that Aram and Ephraim again is the 10 tribes, together they're camping against Yehuda, against Yerushalayim. Vayugad, it was told, the term Vayugad is as if there was spies sent out and they found out some inside information. This was the inner news that was not publicized, but Vayugad, they found out. But it was a clear message. It was Leves, it could have just said Vayugad Leves David, that Noch Aram al Ephraim. The word Lamor, saying, means that this was told, that they were positive this was going to happen. And the alliance might have been a secret initially, but the word got out, and there was no question that Aram had joined together with Ephraim to go against Yehuda. It could also be, Vayugad Leves David Lamor, Rashi says, because Ochaz was a Rasha, the Navi doesn't even want to address his words to Ochaz. It was told to the house of David. And we know that the one sitting on the throne was Ochaz. That was the one from the house of David. But the Navi doesn't refer to him by name at this point. Later on he is referred to by name, but it wants to make that lesson. By you God, Leves David, it was told to the house of David. But it's referring to Ochaz. It could also be that he was told to the base David, his only saving grace was the fact that he was from base David. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want Malchus base David to end, and he came from such great ancestors, therefore he will be saved. But the heart shook, no atzayar, like the trees of the forest shudder, mitnei aruch, because of the wind. If you have an orchard, so first of all, the fruit weighs down the branches, that they can't shake that violently. If they have a branch that's laden with a dozen apples or oranges, the extra weight holds down the branch that doesn't shake so much. If it's a branch that has nothing on it, like an Elon Sirach, a tree that doesn't produce fruit, like just a wild tree in the forest, so those branches aren't holding anything and they shake and they make a lot of noise, and one branch hits the other branch, and so too one person's fear inspired fear in the others. Everyone was banging against the other, and there was a tremendous fear that spread from one to another. Also, an orchard or a garden has a wall around it very often, and the wind doesn't hit it that strongly. But in a forest, which is hefker, which is ownerless, just a forest that's in the open, so the wind that comes shakes the trees violently. And that's the way people's hearts were pounding, and they were terrified. And they were like the atzayar, like the trees of the forest that had no fruit. They had no zechusim. There was no reason that they should be saved, if not for the fact that this is the Ochaz is the son of Yosam, the grandson of Uzziyo. Vayomer Hashem el Yishayo. Hashem said to Yishayo, Tzeina, go out now, likras Ochaz, to greet our Ochaz. A king very often, in fact the Gemara in Baruchas on Daf Ches has a story, well, we've touched on it before, at one point we'll have it later, when Chizkiyo was sick, and Hashem told Yishayo to go to Chizkiyo, and to be Mevaka Chola. But the Gemara has a discussion that the truth is Chizkiyo and Yishayo, Hanavi, had to get together. But Chizkiyo felt it wasn't proper for the king to have to go to the Navi, to go to the prophet. Especially a great king like Chizkiyo, a tremendous tzaddik. It was not within his position to go to the Navi. And Yeshaya HaNavi felt that he carried the word of Hashem, and therefore the king should come to him. And each one, there were precedents where the king would go to the Navi, or the Navi would go to the king, and each one felt the other should come to him. So what Hashem does, he made Chizkiyo sick, and then he told Yishaya, Chizkiyo is sick, he can't come. You have to be Mavaka Chola to visit the sick. So Yishaya went to greet Chizkiyo. But certainly when the king had a problem, if there was something that bothered the king knew he had to go to the Navi. If he was aware of the fact that something was troubling him, he was compelled to go to the Navi. But Ochaz wasn't that type. Ochaz was not interested in meeting Yishaya HaNavi. Hashem said, say not. It could mean like a Lashon Bakasha. Go out now, please. Yishaya is going to be asked that he should go and leave the city and go to greet Ochaz. Achaz obviously wasn't in Yerushalayim. Maybe he was inspecting the troops. Maybe he was in one of the cities. But right now, he had just heard this news that there was going to be attack on Yerushalayim. So Achaz was probably coming back into the city. So Yishai is going to meet Achaz outside Yerushalayim while Achaz is coming back. They'll meet. Say no likras Achaz. Go out now to greet Achaz. Ata you Yishaya Hanavi, Ushaor Yoshuv Benecha. And the simple meaning is your son, Benecha, your son, whose name was Shor Yoshuv. And we'll see, Yishaya had sons that were given names that were prophetic and was a lesson that the people would know what was destined to happen. Yishaya had a son, Shor Yoshuv, which would mean Shor, the remnant. Those that remain from Klal Yisrael, Yoshuv will return. It could either mean, as Mitzudas David brings down, the She'eris Yehuda, those that remain from Yehuda, will return from Golus, which was many years later, was in the days of Ezra, and the second Beis HaMikdash. But Sha'or, the remnant, Yoshuv will return. And already at the times of Yishaya, Klal Yisrael, most of the land had been conquered. We'll see shortly the 10 tribes are going to be taken away. But he named his son Shor Yoshuv, that people would realize as he grew up, Shor Yoshuv, not all hope is not lost. The remnant will return. And we'll see Yishaya had another son, we'll learn about him, Perek Ches, that he gave a name to, that the people should know what's going to happen to the 10 tribes. But this son was Shor Yoshuv. And Hashem said to Yishaya, go to greet Achaz. Ad to you, Shor Yoshuv Benecha, and your son Shor Yoshuv. Another pshat the Targum brings down is Ushar Talmidcha, a person's Talmud, his student, is like his son. Ushar Yoshuv, the remnant that returns to Hashem, those that are faithful and have done tshuva and are interested in Avodas Hashem, take those Talmidim. And Yishaya should go out with an entourage, a group of people who are dedicated to Hashem. And together, Yishaya should go to Achaz and give him the following message. You'll meet Achaz, El Kitzeh, by the edge, to Olas, the channel, Habrecha Ho'elyona, of the upper pool. There were different pools of water. There obviously was an upper reservoir and a lower reservoir. By the Brecha Ho'elyona, the upper reservoir, there was a channel. Could be that's the channel where the water came in, but the Ta'olas HaBrecho Hel Yoina. And over there at the edge, El Mesilas Sedei Choves, by the road of the Sedei Choves, the launderer's field. There was a field where people did their laundry, I guess it was near the water, but it was in a field, and he gave the precise location where Yishaya will meet Achaz. It could be there was a deeper hint in all these names. The simple meaning is he was telling Yishaya where he should meet Achaz. Perhaps he pointed out to Achaz and where exactly we're meeting. We're meeting by the Kitzei, by the edge. He's at a moment where he's sort of by the precipice. He's in a moment of danger where he's on the edge, and he should know that any moment he can receive a tremendous punishment through these kings, Pekach and Ritzin. Ta'ala can also mean a healing. However, there's a way that he can be cured, his problems can be solved. Ta'ala, there is a chance for him to repent and to be healed. Berecho Halyaina, and it's by the upper spring, meaning the Hashpa, the source of blessing, will come from heaven if he does teshuva. Like it says in some tefilos, you should have a shefa bracha v'hatzlocha, mishefa brecha el yona, that there should be an outpouring of blessing from Shemayim, but it's referred to as the pool of blessing, the brecha el yona. It's going to be mesilas by a paved road. Of course, the simple meaning is that if they were doing laundry, I guess they didn't hang it out in the field where in the winter it could be muddy and in the summer there can be a lot of dust, but it was by a paved road where it's clean and the laundry that's hanging won't get dirty. But Mesilah can mean to pave the road and the path, that he should prepare his path solu solu panu darech harimu michshol midarechami, like Yeshaya says later. You have to pave the road that we're able to return to Hashem. Stay chovis, and he's got to wash out his sins, he's got to cleanse himself. But the simple meaning is this is where Yeshaya will meet Ochaz. Chazal say, the Marsha learns that in Sanhedrin, that it's, the Chazal saw it in the word stay chovis. You don't do laundry in a field. I mean, the simple meaning is the laundry was near the water supply and then they hung it out in the field. But yet, laundry is not done by the field. It's done by a river. It's not a stay chovis. Chazal learned that Yeshaya met Ochaz, and Ochaz realized that he was in terrible trouble. Their hearts were shuddering. They knew that everything was in danger. And Ochaz knew it was his fault. And he was so embarrassed, he didn't want Yeshaya to see him. So he took one of the vessels that the laundry people use when they're sprinkling water on the laundry. They had like a bucket with holes in it, like a sieve to spread the water. But he took that kli and he put it over his head that Yeshaya shouldn't see him. But obviously this tshuva was not a sincere tshuva, and he knew he was guilty, it was new, because he was a Rasha, all this was happening, but he really wasn't changing his ways. And we'll see. Yeshaya goes to meet him. V'amarta elov, and you should say to Ochaz, he's shomer, be on guard. Chazal learned like shmarim, like the sediments of wine. He shomer, don't stir up the sediments. Remain everything just the way it is. Sit tight, do nothing. He shomer, as if you had a barrel of wine and the sediments are on the bottom. Leave the sediments where they are, the leads where they are. Don't stir anything up. But of course, the simple meaning is he shomer, be on guard, that don't go out to war. Don't figure that you might do an attack on Ochaz and Ritzin. Hishomer, just stay where you are. V'hashke, and you should be tranquil. Be still. Don't even fix the walls of the city or try to strengthen the defenses. Just stay calm and rely on Hashem. Altira, don't be afraid. Seeing what the army that the Goyim have, that shouldn't scare you. Intellectually, you're looking at their tremendous force, and you know that separately they defeated you, and now the two armies are together. Altira, don't be afraid. And even if you realize intellectually not to be afraid, sometimes a person's emotions don't follow his mind. But ulevov chal yerach, your heart shouldn't be faint. You should take courage. Emotionally, you should feel that that nothing will happen. Because the Navi is telling Ochaz from Hashem, Mishnei Zanvu Sa'udim. These two nations are like an oud, a firebrand. And as it gets used up and it's no longer good, it's spent, it's called like the Zanvus, like the tail, the unimportant part. The Zanvu Sa'udim, these spent firebrands, who are Hashenim, and they're smoking. In other words, they're already dying out, and they're just producing smoke. Ho'ela, these two Zanvo Sa'udim, these two nations, these two kings, are like a Udim Ho'ashenim, these useless pieces of wood that have been burnt and have no use for them anymore. They won't do anything to you. The most they'll do is produce a lot of smoke and cause some discomfort. But there won't be any victory that they'll have over you. Bachariyaf, they're coming with an anger. Ritzin v'arom, Ritzin and his nation Arom. Uven Ramal Yohu and Ben Ramal Yohu, they're coming with a tremendous anger, and the two nations are united. But don't worry about it. They won't be able to do anything. If Ochaz would get involved, then we look at Achaz and say, he's such a Rasha, how can he win those other kings? He's Shomer v'hashgeg, do nothing, and if he stays out of it, so Lashem ha-Yeshua, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring a Yeshua to Klal Yisrael, and he should do nothing. Achaz should do nothing. Now, Pekach ben Ramal Yohu, Pekach was not a son of a king. His father was a commoner. What happened was Pekach killed the king before him, and he took over the throne. And in Aram, the same thing happened. Ritzin usurped the throne, but he also was not of royal blood. Therefore, the Navi says, Bachari af with this anger, you have Ritzin, as an individual. Aram is the nation. Uven Ramal Yohu, in the son of Ramal Yohu, he doesn't even refer to Pekach by name. In other words, he's nothing to worry about. From these two Udim Hoashenim, it's not a good piece of wood that you can use to stoke the fire. It's a piece of wood that's been used already. And it's the ends, and sometimes the wood has been used, and at the edge of it, at least in the center, it's strong. But here we're talking about the zanvos, the tails of the wood, and the end of it that was used and that was already burnt, and it's charcoal, and it's not usable anymore. And all it can do is produce a lot of smoke. B'choriyaf, it's the anger of Ritzin V'arom Uven Ramal Yohu, it's not the anger of Hashem. We'll see. The Assyrian Empire, Ashur, was becoming a world power, and the king of Yehuda was going to side with Ashur and ask Ashur to help him out. And it could be that's why Ritzin and Aram had this anger. They wanted to attack the Malchus of Yehuda before they would make an alliance with Ashur, with Assyria. But they were coming with an anger, but that's not from Hashem, and he should be confident that rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save him. Yan ki yo'at olecho Aram ro'o. Because Aram is plotting evil against you. Ephraim, with Ephraim, Uven Ramal Yohu, and their leader, Ben Ramal Yohu, Lamor, and they're all saying that Nalav Yehuda unikitzena. Let's go up to Yehuda unikitzena. Unikitzena could mean unikitzena. We'll become a cutscene. We'll become an officer. We'll take over the rulership. Unikitzena could mean we will put on pressure and will vex Yehuda, will cause such trouble that they'll surrender to us. Unikitzena could also mean we'll wake them up. Rashi learns of Shaz, we'll wake them up, we'll stir them. They're complacent, they don't think anything's going to happen. We'll attack and we'll give them a shock that will wake them up and we'll defeat them. This is what Aram and Pekach ben Ramayo are planning. Now with Yehuda unikitzena. And one last pshat, the Malvin brings down unikitzena could be like a coat, like a thorn. Like if there was a pimple with pus in it, and somebody were to prick it or poke it with a needle to extract the pus. So too, he's almost like making fun of Yehuda, that Yehuda's like this worthless pimple, like a mursa, something that has pus in it. Now of Yehuda, we're going to go into Yehuda unikitzena, and we're just going to poke it. And we'll extract any wealth or anything that's of use in Yehuda. We'll just take whatever we want and we'll leave over the worthless land. But we're going to go to Yehuda unikitzena, we're going to conquer it. V'navkiyena eilenu. And we're going to, even navkiyena could mean we'll annex it, we'll make it like a bika, like an open valley where there's no walls and there's no separate king, but it'll all be part of us. Navkiena, we'll make it like one big valley, we'll annex it to us. Or Vinavkiena, Elena Kumi, we'll break through the walls of the city. Vinamlich Melech Besocha, and we will make a king in Yehuda, Eis Ben Toval. We'll appoint Ben Toval. We'll appoint Ben Toval. Of course, with every alliance, when you win the war, half the battle is to win the war. And then after you win, the question is, who takes over? Mi Barosh. Who's going to be the leader? So it could be Ritzin and Pekach. You have the king of Aram. You have the king of Ephraim of Yisrael. And the two of them said, you know, we'll conquer the Yehuda and we'll take a third person to be the leader. We'll appoint Ben Toval. Must have been a prestigious person. We don't know if he's from Aram or from Malchus Yisrael, as Ibn Ezra brings down. But we'll appoint Ben Toval to be the leader. Could be a puppet government. They'll control it. But we'll appoint our own leader. It won't be Malchus based David. We'll make our own leader. Toval also, there's a number of explanations in the Mefarshim. One pshat is Tov. We'll appoint somebody who's good. Somebody who's good for us. The Targum says, Man dechoshar lono. The one that we consider to be fitting. It's not anybody's name. Ben Toval just means we'll appoint the ruler that we want. Or it could also mean Tov Al. Somebody who's not good for Hashem. As we're not interested in anybody, even though Ochaz himself was a tremendous Rasha, but they also, it wasn't like they wanted to depose Ochaz to put in a more righteous person. We're going to appoint Ben Toval, somebody who's another Rasha, but somebody that they'll have control over. There's another pshat in Rashi, Alpi, that it means it's referring to Ramla, Pekach ben Ramalyahu. But they decided who they're going to appoint as a king. They're going to conquer Yehuda, and they're going to make their king. But ko amar Hashem Elokim. So says Hashem, lo sukum v'lo siya. Your plan, lo sukum. It won't endure, v'lo siya, and it won't be. It's something that will not last, and it won't even get off the ground. It won't even start. It's not like you'll conquer Yehuda, and you'll have it a long time. You won't have it a long time, you won't even have it at all. Their plan won't succeed. As we're learning through Yeshaya, the focus is on understanding the simple meaning of perhaps with a little bit of depth to understand the psukim, but the truth is there's much more to it. Just to mention a slight thought from the Gra, from the Vilna Gaon, the Gra says in this thought that the king of Aram and the king of Pekach and Pekach ben Ramalyoh said, Nala b'Yehuda nekitzena. They were alluding in these words to what was going to happen. Nala b'Yehuda, let's go up to Yehuda. In Melachim Beis, Perek Chof Dalet, it discusses about Nebuchadnezzar coming to conquer Eretz Yisrael. And the word over there is, it was in the times of Yehoyakim, the king. It says, B'yomov Ola Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar went up. That was the term Na'le, to go up. Nebuchadnezzar is the one who ended up going up. Unikitzena. And they wanted to vex and to cause pain to Yehuda. That term of Unikitzena can also mean to like cut off. By the king Yehoyachin, it says, Vayekatzeitz. As Kol Klei Hazov, he cut down the gold vessels, and they ended up going into exile. But he cut them down by Yekatzeitz. That was a term found by the king Yechonya, who was after Yehoyakim. This is all at the very end of the first Beis Hamikdash. And the third step, V'nav Kieno Eilenu, and we'll annex and we'll join Yehuda onto our kingdom. V'nav Kieno is referring to the last step before the Churban, the goals of Tzidkiyahu. It says over there, in fact, that Perek in Melachim Beis is where it mentions the city was surrounded on Asara B'teves, and then Vatiboka Ha'ir, the city was broken through in the month of Tammuz. But Vatiboka Ha'ir is that term V'nav Kieno Eilenu. And then the Gra continues, and I didn't understand what the girl writes. He writes, it's Alpisoy. It's Kabbalah secrets. But just to mention the thought. In the end of Parshas Vayishlach, it lists all the kings from Edom. From the Roman Empire, from Edom. Actually, it's before, Lifnei Melach Melach Lifnei Yisrael. It's before the Jews had a king, but it mentions the king of Edom. The last one there, it says, his wife was somebody, Mehe Tavel, Bas Matre Bas Mei Zohov. It mentions the name his wife was Mehei Tavel. So again, I don't know what we do with this, but the Gra just mentions when we're looking at this name here, Eis Ben Toval. They wanted to point to Ben Toval, exactly what that's referring to. At the end of Edom, the last one had a wife, the last name mentioned over there by Edom was this Mehei Tavel. There's some type of connection. I say, once you know the simple meaning, then hopefully at some point we'll understand, if not when Mashiach comes, if not sooner, exactly what the deeper meanings in these psukim are. But Komar Hashem Elokim, so says Hashem, lo sukum, it won't endure, v'lo siyen, it won't be. Kirosh Aram Damesek, they're dreaming of conquering Yerushalayim. It won't be. Kirosh Aram Damesek, the head of Aram, the capital city of Aram, is not Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim has nothing to do with Aram. Their capital is Damascus. Verosh Damascus Ritzin. And the leader of Damascus is Ritzin. He's not the leader of Yerushalayim and Malchus Yehuda. Ritzin is the leader of the Goyim and Aram in Damascus. Uva'od Shishim v'chameh shana. And in another 65 years, Yechas Ephraim Mayom. Ephraim will cease, they'll be broken, they'll cease from being a nation. Now again, when Yeshaya said these words, at that point, it could be it wasn't clear exactly 65 years from when. Is it 65 years from when Yeshaya said these words? We'll see in a moment that that's not so. The 10 tribes went into exile much sooner. It wasn't 65 years from now. But when he said those words, it wasn't clear. It wasn't even clear when it says they'll be broken from being a nation. Does that mean they'll lose their independence? Well, what exactly does it mean they'll be lost from being a nation? Of course, now we know that they've disappeared. But in another 65 years, Yechas Ephraim Mayom. And looking at the next pasuk, Verosh Ephraim Shomron. The head of Ephraim, where they have their capital, is in Shomron. Verosh Shomron ben Ramayo, and ben Ramayo is the leader of Shomron, but again, he's not, has no connection and no rights to Yerushalayim or to Malchus Yehuda. Im lo saminu, if you don't believe this, ki lo seamenu, that just means that you are people who don't have any belief. He said to Achaz, if you are a person with a modicum of trust and belief in Hashem, would believe what I'm saying. Kirosh Aram Damesek. The head of Aram is their capital city is Damesek, and the leader of Damesek is Ritzin. In 65 years, Ephraim will cease, they'll be broken from being a nation. The 65 years ends up being from the Nevuah of Amos. There was a Navi Amos who prophesied 2 years before Uzziyahu got his leprosy. We've mentioned the king Uzziyahu came to bring the Ketores, and he got leprosy. 2 years before that, Amos, in Perek Zion, Pasuk Yud Aleph, said that Ephraim would go into Golus. And now, in hindsight, we understand what Yeshaya meant. Yeshaya meant the 65 years have been going by. And from the time that they were warned by Amos, that if they don't do tshuva, they're going to be exiled. The clock's been ticking and the years have been going by and they haven't been changing. Within 65 years from that initial prophecy, Ephraim will end from being a nation. The prophecy was 2 years before Uzziyahu got his leprosy. Uzziyahu had remained the king afterwards for 25 years and his son Yosam for 16 years. And then the next one, Ochaz, that we're learning about now, was the king for 16 years. And Ochaz's son, Chizkiyahu, was the king for 6 years at the time that Ephraim went into exile, when the 10 tribes were taken away. So the 27 years till Uzziyahu finished the throne, and Yosam and Ochaz is another 32 years, and 6 years from Chizkiyahu ends up to be 65 years. At that point, Ephraim will be exiled. But it could also be understood what the Rashem is saying. Lo sokum v'lo siya. Their plans against Yehuda won't endure and they won't be. Key, but on the contrary. But the head of Aram, which is Damesek is going to be destroyed. V'rosh Damesek Ritzin, the leader of Damesek Ritzin, there he's the one who's going to be killed. What is going to happen is Ashur, the Assyrian Empire, is going to come, and they're going to conquer Aram, and he will kill Ritzin, and then afterwards he'll come and he'll take away the 10 tribes. But Ashur is going to put an end to their plan. They're never going to be able to make a war against Yehuda. But if anything, the destruction will be against Aram, Damesek, Ritzin, and also the nation of Ephraim. Kirosh Aram Damesek, Rosh Damesek, Ritzin, Uva'od Shishim V'chameh Shana Yechas. That's the way the Metzudas groups the Pasuk. And in 65 years, Yechas, Aram will be broken. And also, Ephraim Mayom, Ephraim will also be broken, that Ephraim won't be a nation. But Ritzin will also get their punishment at this point. The Malbim says their plans won't happen. Kirosh Aram Damesek. Take a look at who they are. They're not big tzaddikim. The head of Aram is Damesek. And Damesek was such a corrupt city that was indicative of the whole nation. V'rosh Damesek Ritzin. And they have this leader Ritzin. And we'll see in a moment Ephraim, V'rosh Ephraim was Shomron, and Rosh Shomron ben Romaliyahu, taking a look at who the opposition is, as terrible as Ochaz is, they won't have the zechus to conquer Yerushalayim. Im lo saminu, at the end of Pasuk Tes, im lo saminu, if you don't believe my words, ki lo seyomenu, it could mean because you have no trust in Hashem. If you had a little bit of emunah and bitachon, you would accept the words coming from the Navi, coming from Yeshaya. It could also mean, ki lo seyomenu, you yourself are a group of liars. And very often a person who's a liar doesn't trust anyone else. When Yeshaya said his words of truth, he said, ki lo seyomenu, you yourselves are not people of integrity. And since you lie, you assume that what I'm saying is a lie. Otherwise, you would believe what I'm saying. Now, Yeshaya doesn't tell us exactly what happened now, except that by Yosef Hashem continued, Dabra al Ochaz, speaking to Ochaz, Lamor saying. It seems it was the first message, and then Hashem spoke further. There was more to say. And in Melachim Beis, Perek Tez Zayin, in Melachim Beis Perek Tez Zayin, the Navi tells us what happened. What happened was that Aram, Ritzin Melech Aram, and Pekach ben Remaliyahu came together to attack Yerushalayim, to attack Ochaz. It says, Vayishlach Ochaz, in Pasuk Zayin, Vayishlach Ochaz Malochim El Tiglas Peleser Melech Ashur. Ochaz sent messengers to the king of Ashur, Lamor, saying, Avdecho Vinchoni, I'm your servant and your son. I'm totally subservient to you. Alev Oshieni Mikaf Melech Aram. Go up and save me from the king of Aram and from Mikaf Melech Yisrael and from the king of Yisrael, Hakomim Olai, that are rising against me. And Ochaz took the silver and the gold that was in the Beis Hamikdash and in the royal treasury, and he sent it all to the king of Ashur as a bribe. And Ashur listened to him and went to Damesek and killed Ritzin, and then went and attacked the 10 tribes. And the tragedy is, incidentally, the Navi continues, Ochaz went to greet Tiglath Pileser in Damascus after the king of Ashur defeated Damesek, so Ochaz went to greet him. And he went there and he saw the way they brought whatever sacrifices on the altar. So he took the exact architectural model of that altar and he sent it back to Yerushalayim that they could build such an altar like that in the Beis HaMikdash. But it wasn't bad enough that he wants a copy of their Avodah Zarah and their worship. but he copied the worship of the losers. And as he went to Damascus, who had just lost, but it was just such a terrible king and so anti HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what he did. But that's a side point. The Mephorshim say what happened was Yeshaya gave him this message, and Ochaz went ahead and he sent a bribe to the king of Ashur. And at this point, Vayosef Hashem Dabra al Ochaz Lamar. Hashem continued, he further spoke to Ochaz, that stop relying on the Goyim and relying on Ashur, it's just going to end up being bringing trouble in the end. You have to have bitachon on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sha'al Ochaz, ask for yourself a sign. Me'im Hashem Elokecha, from Hashem who's your Elohim. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Mashkiach. He's your Elokecha, he's Elokecha, your God. Ask from Hashem a sign if you need something, a little bit of encouragement, a little bit of proof that things will be good. I'm telling you to have bitachon. Hishomer v'hashke, you should be at ease. Don't be afraid of these smoking firebrands. They won't be able to do anything. If you want to, ask a sign. Ask some type of proof that what I'm saying is true. Me'im Hashem Elokecha. Hamig Sha'ola. You can ask a question that's very deep. It can mean deep in the recesses of your heart. Nobody has to know. But from your deep thoughts, decide exactly what you would like Hashem to do to prove himself to you. This is a big chiddush that Yeshaya the Navi is telling the king, you have permission. Hashem is saying you have permission, Ochaz, to ask from Hashem a sign. O Hagdeil Amola. Or if you want, you can raise your voice and call out for everyone to know that this is the sign that you want to happen. Chazal learned, Rashi brings down, Hamik Sha'ola, he told him you can ask him a question, Hamik, from the depths. Sha'ola can be like Sha'ol from the grave. If you want, you want to do a Tchias HaMesim, you want to bring a dead person back to life, go ahead, ask it. Hamik Sha'ola, you can ask the deepest things. Hamik Sha'ola, ask a deep question, ask to do a Tchias HaMesim on a dead person. Oh, Hagbe'el Amala, if you want, ask for a sign high up in the sky that the whole world should see. Vayomer Ochaz, and Ochaz said, Lo eshav, lo anases Hashem. I won't ask, and I won't test Hashem. At the simple level, it sounds like the most frum, the most religious, and sincere words that you could say. Like, Chas v'shalom, why should I test Hashem? Why should I want to ask for any type of sign? But as we're understanding, as Chazal learned, it's the exact opposite. Ochaz didn't want to ask a sign, because if it asked a sign, it would happen. He was being told that what he would ask would happen. And then what do you do? What do you do if you don't want to serve Hashem? If you want to be anti-Yiddishkeit? You want to go against Judaism? And now you're told to ask a sign. He's going to ask a sign and it's going to happen. And if he asks a sign in public, that would even make a Kiddush Hashem. That would be the worst thing. So he's not going to ask Lo Esh, I'm not going to ask a sign and I'm not going to test Hashem because I don't want to be convinced. I certainly don't want anyone else to see any tremendous miracle. And this is exactly what Yeshaya was told in the previous perek, perek vav, hashmin lev ha'om hazeh, that the heart of this people would become fat and impervious to any type of rebuke, that they would just be closed off and they wouldn't be able to hear your words of Musar. And this is what we see now. Vayomer. So Yeshaya persisted and he said, Shimu no beis David. Hear now, beis David, you household of David. Hama'at mikem. Is it little? Is it insignificant by you? Halos anoshim. To scorn people. In other words, the Nevi'im, the prophets come to you and you ignore the words. So it's one thing you ignore me and you don't listen to my words. But kisalu gamas alokoi. You're scorning Hashem also. Now he doesn't refer to him as Elokecha. In other words, he tried to say Elokecha to encourage him. Hashem is your God. Ask a sign. But after being rebuffed, and Ochaz obviously is not interested, so Yeshaya said, obviously he's not, you don't feel he's your God. But it's Elokoi. It's my Hashem. And Kisalu Gamis Elokoi. You're scorning Hashem also. You don't want a sign. And I know you don't want a sign because you don't want to serve Hashem. You don't want to prove that Hashem is right. Lochein, therefore, Yitin Hashem hu lochem os. Hashem himself will give you a sign. And the simple meaning is this is going to be a sign that you don't have to worry about the kings that are going to be, that are coming to attack. You'll be safe. But this is the sign. Hineho Alma, the maiden, the young girl, Hara will be pregnant or is pregnant. Yoleda Spain, and she'll give birth to a son. V'karos Shemo Immanuel. And she'll call his name Immanuel. Now, Immanuel, is actually from two words. Immanu with us, Kael is Hashem. Immanuel means Hashem is with us. And she's going to call the child Immanuel. Chemo devash yochel. He's going to eat cream and honey. He's going to have plenty. The land is going to be fertile. And there's going to be just blessing. They won't be eating dry, parched bread. He'll be eating cream and honey. Ledaito. In order that he will know. Mos baro vocher batov. He'll know the finer things in life. He'll know how to... He'll repulse what's bad, and he'll choose what's good. He'll be used to eating the best foods. It'll be a time of prosperity. Before this child knows how to despise what's bad and choose what's good, again, the simple meaning would be, in terms of this food, and others, he's going to be eating well, and there'll be a time of plenty. But before that happens, Teozevo Adoma Sheratokots, the land that you despise, you're despising these, you're afraid, Asheratokots, you're afraid of Pekach and Ritzin, their land will be abandoned. Mipnei Shnei Melachel, they'll be abandoned because of their two kings who are so terrible and they're coming to attack. Those countries will be abandoned. The king of Asher will defeat and exile Aram, and they'll exile the 10 tribes. That's the basic flow of these psukim. Therefore, Hashem will give you a sign. In other words, you don't want to ask for a sign. You don't want to prove that Hashem is right. So Hashem is going to give you a sign anyways, whether you like it or not. And the sign will be that this Alma, this young maiden, will become pregnant, and she'll have a child. V'koros Shemo, she will name him, she'll have Ruach HaKodesh, even though she's young, she's not usually a person who's older, had time to perfect his character, to become a Navi, or a Neviyah, a prophetess, but she will call him Immanuel, and that will be a sign that you'll know that you'll be safe from these kings. Chemo Dvash Yochel, the child will eat from cream and from honey. The land will be full of good. Ledaito. And when he knows Mos Baro Vacharatov, he'll know how to choose, despise evil and choose good. It's also an illusion that the time will come after Achaz, where there'll be a king and the people will know how to choose what's right. In Ruchnius, in spirituality, Chizkio will come and he'll despise Olam Hazeh and certainly doing Averis. And he'll focus on serving Hashem. And before that happens, the land that you despise will be abandoned. The question is, it's a difficult few psukim. Exactly what is the sign? Is the sign that the Alma will become pregnant? Is the sign that she'll have wasn't known that this young woman would be expecting? Is the sign that she's going to have a son? It could have been a daughter, it could have been a miscarriage, it could have been, but it will be a son. Is the sign that she's going to have this child and she's going to know to name him Immanuel? Or is the sign that he'll be able, he'll have plenty, he'll have chemo, devash, yochel, times will be good? The way the Mephoshim learn is the two kings are coming now. And I guess they'll be delayed. They won't attack Yerushalayim right now. Don't worry. But it won't even happen in the future because she's going to be... Could be she's already Hora. She's already expecting. And she'll give birth to a son, and she'll call him Immanuel, and that could happen soon. And the land will have plenty. But before that even happens, when you see that she has a child and she calls him Immanuel, you'll know that Hashem is with us, and the two kings will not be able to conquer Yerushalayim. It's also, the question is who this Alma is, who this young maiden is. It would seem to be it was either the wife of Yeshaya HaNavi, it was either his wife, some of Horsham learn, or it could be it was the wife of Achaz, the wife of the king Achaz. He had a young wife. Now, on one hand, it could be taken to mean it's referring to Achaz will have a child who will despise evil, he'll choose good, there'll be a time of prosperity, and it could be referring to his son Chizkiyoh, who was a great tzaddik, and in his time after the army of Sancheirov was destroyed, there were good times in the land. The problem with that is, Chizkiyoh became the king when he was 25 years old, right after his father Achaz died, and Achaz was only the king for 16 years. So Chizkiyoh was already alive. So it's a question exactly what the pshat is. It could be, it means Achaz had a different wife. He had a younger wife. One of the Mephoshim says, the Abar Ben El says, it could have even been his daughter, this Alma. Maybe it was the daughter of Achaz that he loved so much. His daughter would be Hora Violeta Spain. But the implication of the psukim is, there was an Alma, there was this young maiden who was going to have a child and call him Immanuel. And the simple meaning is the fact that she would give him that name, that will be a sign to know that Immanuel, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us, Immanuel, that Hashem is with us. Now, it's not much of a sign, especially if you learn it's Yeshaya's wife. How is Ocha supposed to believe Yeshaya? Maybe Yeshaya told his wife, name the child Immanuel. Immanuel. Maybe that's Yeshaya told his wife what to name the child. If it's Ochaz's wife, so that would be sort of more credible. In other words, could be nobody will tell her, and Ochaz will make sure she's secluded. And if she thinks of that name, that's a sign. But the truth is that Bar Benel says Ochaz didn't want a sign. Lo eshav lo anases Hashem. I'm not going to ask. I'm not going to test Hashem. So what Hashem gave him is not a sign that has anything to do with miraculous. It's a simple thing, like when you put on tefillin, v'hayil osal yodcha, it's a sign on your hand. Or Shabbos is an ois. Certain things are a sign between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The sign that Hashem will be with us, you should know that she's going to name the child Immanuel, and could be that's what she'll be told. But you should know, Hashem says to Achaz, if you don't want a sign, I'm going to give you a sign, but it's going to be very weak. It's not going to be any miracle, but the sign is, just as she will name her child Immanuel, when you mention that name, when you see that child, you should know that that's the sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. It's a sign, just you should remember, Hashem is with us. You don't want to ask any miracles, you won't get any miracles. But I'll give you a sign. The child's Immanuel. When you see this child, you'll remember that Hashem is with us, and you'll be safe. Next time, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, we'll discuss this pasuk, these 2-3 psukim were used by the missionaries. And the interesting thing is, learning through the Abar Ben El, he discusses exactly what they say, and we'll discuss it in short in Mirtz Hashem next time. But looking through it, what I found most interesting was the Abar Ben El was the royal treasurer for Ferdinand and Isabella at the time of the Spanish Inquisition. You know, could be he's the one who arranged the Columbus's trip to America in 1492. He was the treasurer at that time. And he had to deal with the Christians and everything. And, you know, he doesn't write in the Pirush on this pasuk what he went through, but he mentions the way they misinterpret the pasuk and exactly how you can see it has no reference at all to their belief. Mirtz Hashem, next week we'll continue in Perek Zayin.